We've been working a doctrinal epistle, the book of Romans. It's the foundational doctrinal epistle on right believing. And we're coming to the end of Romans here. And I threw a lot at you last Wednesday. But I trust you're getting somewhat of a scope of Romans and an appreciation of how God's word works. Remember, of course, that as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed. It's profitable, beneficial, for doctrine, reproof, correction, which is all instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, as you look at the seven church epistles, they're organized along these lines. And Romans is the foundational doctrinal epistle in right believing. And that's why in the beginning, it introduces Jesus Christ, of course. It talks about believing, because you got to have believing, right, to get born again. What Hebrews, was it 11:6, says about believing? It's impossible to please God without believing, something like that, right? So Abraham's in there as a beautiful example. And the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is told over and over again in different ways. It talks a lot about the Gentiles and the Jews. We know there are three general classifications of people in the Bible. There's Jew, Gentile, and Church of God. And so in this basic foundational epistle, it's no wonder that they're talking about the Gentiles and the Jews a lot, because they're the ones that are going to need to get born again so they could become the Church of God. So, yeah, interesting like that. So we've seen these subjects come up through the book of Romans. And tonight I want to get into Romans 12. We'll finish tonight. And again, we're not going to read all the verses, but just several verses to get the flavor and the essence. And please remember, we're talking about the Word of God. We're not talking about some nice book that some author wrote. We're talking about God's Word. This is the truth that God has implemented for man to know and believe and live. Okay? So think about that as we go through here. All right. So, let's go to chapter 12, if you would, in Romans. And previous to this, we saw the sections dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles. We know in Romans 10 is the scripture on getting born again, saved, Romans 10:9. And so once you get born again, what do you need to do? Well, you renew your mind to live it, to be it. So, you know, it's not a mystery that chapter 12 talks about the renewed mind at this point. You don't see this talked about in the beginning, do you? No, it fits beautifully where it is here in chapter 12. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God doesn't want dead sacrifices. He doesn't want us suffering. He wants living sacrifices that are wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay? So, very key point here for the Christians to renew their mind. Then we get into the rest of this chapter, obviously, and it talks about the one body functioning together. So let's read verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, have whole thoughts, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that measure of faith is Christ in you. We all have the same ability to believe God and have that Christ in us. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we're getting into functioning here. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So is this a kind of an individual type of thing, Christianity? No, it's a one body trip working together. And God wants us to do something with who we are in Christ. And we heard that in the manifestations, big time. Okay. Having then, verse 6, gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching. So people have different, within the body of Christ, different long suits, if you will, and God works within people. Some people just have that affinity to teach. Some are really good at exhorting people, encouraging folks. And that's what he's talking about here, exhorting. He that giveth with simplicity. Boy, you know, people, there's some wonderful saints that give, and it really helps the whole body. He that ruleth, there's got to be somebody overseeing things. And so hopefully they do it, as the word says, with what? Diligence. And mercy with cheerfulness. So all these great things are in here. Let love be without dissimulation, that it's not a fake love. It's a genuine love.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah, hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And it goes on and on. Okay, so I encourage you to read this. We're not going to look at all of this, but let's go to, let's see. Yeah, there's just some great stuff in here. But let's, the last verse, we'll read the last verse, 21, and then you could read for your homework, okay, the rest of it. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
Yeah, it doesn't say overcome evil with being avengeful, getting back, being mad at, not forgiving, but overcome evil with good. Now, here's the interesting, in chapter 13, these next several verses, I think, are very much misunderstood by most Christians, and I think what I'm going to share with you is accurate. I pray that it is, but let's read this here. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The King James, it's judgment. Okay, they're going to get the consequences. Now, many Christians feel this is talking about government authorities and power. You can't see that. I just don't see that. Governments are by men. The only government and people being subject to the higher powers is the things of God. You know, those who have the opportunity to serve in leadership, we work together. And so that's important, that we respect each other, we work together. Somebody's got to make the final decision in situations and what we're going to do. And so this King James is written pretty hard, and which is probably not the best translation to read in this section here. But I believe that this is talking about the ministers that rule in the body of Christ rather than government officials. So that does not make any sense at all. It just doesn't make any sense. So you can go ahead and read on through here. And again, there's other aspects of living the word, being believers. Verse 8, owe no man anything but what? Love one another. That's what we owe to each other. We don't owe anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Yeah. And then it's interesting, he quotes all these commandments, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt. If there be any more commandments, if they're briefly comprehended in this same name, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the bottom line. Get away from the, you don't need the law, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you're not going to mess up the law. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now you got Jews, obviously, that are part of the fellowship. This really should communicate to them especially, big time. And then the last verse, let's read the last verse. Again, I don't want to read every verse, but I encourage you to take a look at some of this stuff. Verse 14 says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's a good renewed mind there, right? We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Christ in us, so we put him on renewed mind in our heads, and we don't make provisions for the flesh life. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Then we get to chapter 14. Goes on with, again, living a responsible Christian life. Verse 8, I'm going to jump to verse 8 in chapter 14. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto what? The Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. No matter what happens in our life, if we fall asleep or whatever, we belong to the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. See, so, you know, we have the hope of Christ's return, don't we? If we die, if Christ doesn't come back in our lifetime, the next awakening moment we will have, if we die, will be face-to-face with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Doesn't that put a smile on your face? It's like, wow, thank you, Father, for doing that, setting that up for us. So, wow. So we want to be our best for the Heavenly Father. There's, again, some other wonderful things that perhaps we want to be aware of as we read through here and implement in our life. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Let's don't tear each other down. We have no reason to do that in the body of Christ. But we build each other up. That's these manifestations we heard.
Mm-hmm.
What are the purpose of the manifestations?
Build
you up through exhortation and comfort, exhorting and comforting. Ay, ay, ay. God just got it all covered here, huh? It is so wonderful. The law of the different aspects here. Let's go to chapter 15. And I'm going to jump to verse 8. Verse 8, chapter 15. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Now, what is he talking about, the minister of the circumcision? Who's that? The Jews. All right, so, yeah, he came to the Jews originally for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, Old Testament, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So the Gentiles are spoken about in the Old Testament, that they would get blessed when Christ, the Messiah, would come. So again, we see, you know, he addresses Jew and Gentile in these verses, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he said, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him to your people." You know, the non-believers are going to get blessed, the Gentiles. Obviously, they need to get born again, for sure. So he goes on referring to them. Verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with" how much joy and peace?
Oh.
"All joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
Wow, that gift of Holy Spirit is huge. And that power of the Holy Spirit allows us, gives us the opportunity to be filled with all joy and peace in believing. And I myself, verse 14, "also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So this is the lifestyle of the believer here. He talks about the Gentiles in verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile. You know, this is Paul's writing this. God's the author. And it's interesting that Paul was charged to go to the Gentiles. Here he was a Pharisee. You'd think, well, why don't you send him to the Jews? He's a Pharisee background. Come on. No, Peter pretty much was there, but so Paul had the privilege of going to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being set apart, special, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Just some great things here. Let's jump to verse 16. I know I'm skipping a bunch of verses here, but I want you to have something to do for your homework, okay? Well, this 16 finishes it. We got to read verse 33 of chapter 15, because this kind of ends everything, and I'll explain that in a moment here. "Now the God of peace be with you all." What does it say?
Amen.
Amen. That's it. So be it, so say it. And that's it. So then in chapter 16, God had Paul greet and give salutations to all these different people, these groups you go through here. It's wild. He's talking about Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant in the church, which is at Caesarea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh the saints, that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of. You know, he's talking about these all these different believers and how important they are functioning within the body of Christ. He knows a lot of people. My gosh, if you go through here, he's greeting Mary and saluting Aridontus and Juna. I'm verse 7. I'm way ahead of you here. Verse 8, "Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord, Urbine, our helper in Christ." All these people. What a great love individual care for the individual saint. You see that throughout this whole chapter. He's saluting all these. How does he know all these people?
I think he even
got around. He got around, didn't he? Verse 16, we got to implement this a little more often.
Yeah.
Salute one another with a holy kiss.
Yay.
Okay. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Wow. So we got to be sharp here. You know, sometimes people are not working for us. They're against us. So we got to identify that. We need to be aware of that. He goes on, like verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. What a great message to realize. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And again, Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sopater, and my kinsmen salute you. And he goes on with these different folks. Verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, this is interesting here at the end, because he brings up something that's pretty wild in some sense. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the
mystery.
He's bringing up this mystery, which was kept secret. How long ago? Yeah, that secret's been around long, long, long time ago. And right at the end, he's bringing this mystery up. Now, we really haven't got about, there's nothing been talked about the mystery. Well, later on, we do, don't we?
Yeah.
Ephesians and stuff, Colossians, we really get into it. But the mystery's kind of introduced here, I guess. But now is made manifest. This mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for what?
Faith.
Yeah, the obedience of faith, believing. So that's going to be an interesting subject to get into, the mystery. It closes out Romans here. And so it's important that we recognize what this mystery is. Obviously, the preaching of Jesus Christ is a big part of the mystery, and who he is and what he did for us and who we are in him. But we are going to see it even bigger. So it closes out, verse 27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Amen.
So that's Romans, the book of Romans, and that's the foundational church epistle.
Right.
And that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Well, maybe we'll look at Ephesians would be the next one. Corinthians and Galatians are both reproof correction epistles. Definitely Corinthians is, right? Corinthian church really got out in left field, and so that's where you see reproof and correction. If you're going to reproof somebody, you really want to have the correction right there as well. So, and we see that in Corinthians and Galatians. And then Ephesians takes off with the mystery, where Romans ended with the mystery, Ephesians jumps right into it. So we'll take a look at Ephesians next time. So I trust you get a scope, a feel, appreciation for God's word here, and that a little bit of how God put it together, some of the great truths that we want to believe and adhere to and plug into our lifestyle so that we're blessed and have that sweet fellowship with him. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, Father, thank you for again, your love and grace in our lives, that we are in your family, that you've called us to fellowship in the one body of Christ. We're grateful for your word that opens up the truth of our relationship with you and how we can live it to the fullest. So we sure appreciate knowing a little bit more of your word and being able to continue to study it and be our best in rightly dividing it. And I pray for everybody here and on the party line here that they can just continue to grow in their believing of your word and walking out on it. And I pray and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.